Welcome to TBF, a Browns fans podcast. Oh, yeah, that's it. Back at you after a long hiatus. You know, we've been affected by the strikes, right, guys? The strikes, yeah. Couldn't get anybody to write these lines I'm about to say. So this is all off the cuff, man. Nothing written here because that would be violating a strike. Actually, we don't use SAG-AFTRA or the Writers Guild or any of that because nobody gets paid here, right?
I thought you said I was getting paid.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, but I am paying you in TBF money. Yeah, that's coming right your way, man. It's You're gonna get an envelope chock full of those TBF bills, and you can cash them in. Well, here for different stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, different stuff. Now. Like, yeah, I got stuff. Yeah, go Browns. So, guys, we're kind of just looking at the Browns as we're going into on this coming Thursday, August the 3rd, for my grandson's birthday. For my grandson's birthday.
Awesome.
The Browns are playing in the Hall of Fame game. Who are we playing?
I can't remember who
another football team, that's for sure.
Why don't I know that? I should know that.
Oh, well, this is why we have the Googly. Browns Hall of Fame game.
Jets.
The Jets. Oh, my gosh. Aaron Rodgers is going to personally kick our ass.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, the Jets are first.
And what I find interesting is that they picked the Browns and Jets for the Hall of Fame game. And how does that go? Don't you usually have an AFC team and an NFC team? There's two AFC teams.
Yeah, that doesn't, I don't know why that doesn't.
I mean, I know why they wanted the Browns there, because they're going to do a big Jim Brown celebration. And right. I guess I know why they wanted the Jets there, because they're going to do a big, hey, Aaron Rodgers is quarterback of the Jets. By the way, do you expect to see Aaron Rodgers play, if at all, in the Hall of Fame game? Let's type a question. Will Aaron Rodgers play in the Hall of Fame game? Oh, look, Google filled in the question for me. Pro Football Hall of Fame week to feature Aaron Rodgers' debut with the Jets. Yes, we'll get to watch him sit on the bench.
Yeah, that ought to be good.
Well, but on the same token, I don't think we're going to get to see too much of Deshaun Watson either.
No, we won't.
Nah.
We'll get a drive, maybe a drive or two.
A drive, maybe a drive or two. And again, maybe and only because it's national TV and the Hall of Fame game, because generally speaking, in the first preseason game,
you don't see them at all.
Which there are only three, you don't see them at all. So that'll be interesting. I mean, there's some shit to watch. let's see. Browns legend Clay Matthews was named as a semifinalist, and that's as far as he got. So no Clay Matthews being honored at the Hall of Fame. Jim Brown, of course, passed this year, and they're going to be doing all kind of shit about him. There'll probably be some really good stuff. I'm going to record the event because I think, you know, it might be worth it. But that whole Jim Brown thing will be on the weekend, believe it or not, this Thursday game for the Hall of Fame in advance of the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies is a new thing. Used to be Saturday, Sunday. The induction used to be on Saturday and the game on Sunday. Now you got the game on Thursday and the induction on Saturday. So
Oh, okay.
Wow. What should the expectations for David Njoku be for the 2023 season? Any thoughts?
He should be in the Pro Bowl. He should be a Pro Bowl tight end.
Right. He should be. He should be all that and a bag of barbecue potato chips.
I don't think that's crazy to expect, because that's not. I mean, he can be in the Pro Bowl and not be the best tight end in the league, but what he's getting paid, and if you look at how he ended last year or the spurts he had last year in between injuries, okay, because we're assuming health this year is going to be the priority for him, right?
Right, right.
He put in health for Njoku. He should, I think he should easily be able to get into Pro Bowl. Honestly, if he was to put the numbers, the good games, real good games he had last year, and put that over a whole season, he'd be in the Pro Bowl.
Okay, I buy that. I believe that the continued growth of David Njoku would put him there this year. Do we see, with the receiving core we have now, a continued use of David Njoku at this level? I think Deshaun Watson is a tight end friendly quarterback.
I would say this to that. It would be in Watson's best interest to use him. If we get to wide receiver heavy and forget about the tight end, okay, it's just going to make it harder on the wide receivers. Okay. The continuous use of the tight end. And I mean, look at Tom Brady. Let's be realistic. Are we not going to acknowledge the fact that why Tom Brady's had so much success with receivers? And these are receivers he's had that if you put them on other teams, would they actually be a top two receiver on that team? Welker, different names. Yeah. I mean, he's had Randy Moss. Yes, he's had some names before, but he made early on, what's his name? The receiver they used to have in slot.
Well, remember,
when he started his career.
In the year they had Moss. In the year they had Moss, they almost went undefeated.
Right. So what I'm saying is the use of the tight end has opened up so much for receivers on the Patriots, right? Mm-hmm. The way they use tight ends. You can't just say I'm going to double the receiver on the Patriots, right? You couldn't do it. You know what I mean? The way they use tight ends, you couldn't do it. Their tight end is basically a receiver. Okay. And so you have to cover him like a receiver. And then if you put your best guy on the tight end, right, he's bigger than him. So he could still technically have an advantage and you make mismatches on the edge. Okay. That's what Njoku could be that for us. He could be that guy in the middle of the field that they're like, he's just eating us apart. We got to get something on him. Okay. And then when you try to prioritize to stop a tight end, right, you really have no choice but to relieve receivers one-on-one. I mean, there's not much a choice on that. You're going to pull in to do it unless you pull in a linebacker.
Anthony Schwartz is already gone, there, right?
The linebackers are already on tight ends, and so you're going to be asking help from safeties more than likely, and which is going to leave your receivers one-on-one.
So here's one for you guys, and we'll go through. This Dog Pound Daily put this out. July 9th. A few weeks ago. The top five Cleveland Browns who are certified building blocks for the future. Well, you know who number one is, right? It's Myles Garrett.
Oh, yes. Obviously.
Yeah. And then there's number two. I bet you can guess number two. Deshaun Watson. And by the way, there's a set of arguments that the only reason Deshaun Watson is number two on that list is because he ain't shown us shit yet. Okay. This is show and tell for Deshaun Watson this year. That's for damn sure. So who would you put after that as building blocks for the next 5 years for the Browns?
I would say in general, and most people think this probably be something offensive, but I think in general, if our whole defensive line progressed this year into what we want it to be, I think the Browns could go from a team that's having problems in some games to where games would just become too easy.
Well, yeah, but in a sense, we've already on this list of building blocks, we've already got the line included because Myles Garrett's there.
So, but how much does Myles actually build?
Well, no, you build around him. This is the block you build around.
Okay,
so yeah. Number three on Dog Pound Daily's list, and I don't know whether I agree with it, but it's Denzel Ward. Okay.
I was about to say next, you could do the same. You could technically, in the same breath that I'm saying the defensive line, you could say the secondary. It's just, to me, having a lockdown secondary is so much harder than getting a line. We've seen very few of them in history of football, lockdown secondaries, but let's be
true. I agree.
When we have seen them, they usually end up in the Super Bowl. Okay. Lockdown secondaries usually get you to the Super Bowl.
Okay. Yeah.
So here's one.
The Legion of Boom.
Here's one for number four, what they have listed. And I find it interesting that this particular player is listed as, and keep in mind, this is building block over the next five seasons. Speaking of the Jets, over the offseason, we acquired via trade from the Jets, Elijah Moore, wide receiver. And that's who they have listed. And by the way, he has shown out in all of the mini camps and OTAs and shit like that. So
that's great.
Looks like him and Watson actually have a connection. So I guess they don't plan on keeping Amari Cooper long enough for him to be a building block, or I'm not real sure. I'm not sure why that's Elijah Moore for them. And I could read all that, but I'm not going to. I don't feel like reading.
Reading.
Reading. No, should I have to do that? Okay, here. And then they go back to the defensive backfield for their number five. Last on the list, building block for the next 5 years. And I really don't know if I agree with this one, but I don't disagree. Okay. It's a Martin Emerson, cornerback.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Well, as a rookie, Emerson did figure in. I'll say that. So
yeah,
in his second year now.
And then we still have, what's his name?
Yeah, God. What's his name? That's the guy.
I can never remember his name. He's a couple years older, right. 1 or 2 years older than.
He's this guy, man. And he wears this helmet and this uniform. It's orange and brown.
Look at my.
Describe him.
right. Anyway.
I guess I would almost argue to say that possibly would be the more important one, the secondary. But I just think it's so much harder to achieve, though.
Yeah. Now, here's a bold statement for a headline of an article. Let's see if they make their case.
That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, Greg Newsom. Okay.
Yes.
Dogs by Nature. Put this in there. SB Nation website there. Nick Chubb is the NFL's most underrated player.
This quite possibly would be true. Now, I'll say this to that. He gets his due respect sometimes. Mm-hmm. I saw a couple of running back lists in the offseason. I had him number one and number two. But then, I saw a couple the other day that had him eight and five. Okay. They still always list him in the top 10, but he. Mm-hmm.
So here's their opening into this. They said, while other running backs may gain more national attention, Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants, Josh Jacobs of the Las Vegas Raiders, and Dalvin Cook, currently a free agent, come to mind. And Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans is often cited as the game's best. It is hard to argue against Chubb's standing when you compare him with Henry, as Pro Football Focus points out. Rushing yards per game. Well, the rushing grade, if you will. It's not totally an average, but Henry is a 93.4, Chubb 94.3 yards per attempt. Chubb 5.24, Henry 4.85. Missed tackles forced. Now, here's one that I was a little shocked. I thought maybe Henry would have the edge on Chubb in this, and he does not. 279 missed tackles forced for Henry. Chubb, 308. 30-plus yards run. It is the only category that Derrick Henry has bested Chubb in it with 22. Chubb has 21.
Wow.
Okay.
And that's why Derrick Henry said that what he said in that interview.
No, what'd he say?
He was asked the question as he entered into the interview, I suppose. How does it feel to be the best running back in the NFL?
And he said, ask Nick Chubb.
He said, I don't know. You got have to ask Nick Chubb on that.
Well, in that case, Derrick Henry is an insightful individual.
Yes, very much so.
Well, that just shows he's probably a stat head. Yeah. Because he's probably looking at the stats. He's like, dang, this guy keeps up with me.
Yeah, because how do you get those stats? I mean.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And I said this a while back. With Chubb, it's going to be the consistency that makes him the best, right?
Right.
Because he's not getting the carries, but for you to do the leading and you know, miss tackles consistently, right? That's a stat that it's the consistency to it, right? That makes you the best, right? Mm-hmm. You got guys who do that in one or two seasons, okay?
Right. But
consistently doing it. So like John Taylor, I think he's great, right? And a lot of people were saying, yeah, he might be better than Chubb. You know, I was like, well, let him get through some years of that consistency of doing it, though. Okay. Because you're letting him there out of a burst of a season, right? The thing to give respect to Henry and Chubb, which we don't see a lot anymore, and this is like the new theme of running back. We see one or two seasons from them, right? We like crown them the best, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like quarterbacks, you lean more on what they've done to what they're doing, right? Okay. We've taken that away from running backs because they don't have as long of a lifespan. But we forget there's those that have. And Chubb and Henry right now are the anomaly because you don't get it as much in the NFL. But they've had longevity to what they're doing so far. Okay. They both played near half a career so far with complete consistency. Okay. So those are, to me, they should still be the number one and number two in the league. Because of flat out their consistency of doing it.
Uh-huh. Wait a minute. Hold on. Just a second, guys. Something just went weird on my computer there. Let's try this again.
This was interesting.
What's that?
Sports Illustrated. Browns defensive back issues warning to NFL about Elijah Moore. One of the best I've been against.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Show me on the field, guys. And you know, one thing I don't think I want to see the Browns do is issue warnings or brag about anything. I want them to go out there and play this game.
Yeah, don't talk.
Ranking linemen and such and shit like that. This happened, okay, and I thought it was interesting. Joel Bitonio was not listed in the listen, to quote the USA Today, was hilariously left off the NFL top 100 list. But he did so after being placed in the top five in his position. Is that possible? Clearly it is because it happened. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, top five offensive guard does not make the top 100 players list. Huh? Anyway, happened this year. Jim Brown's legacy to be celebrated at Hall of Fame weekend. Let's see what they're going to do for the guy. Jim Brown's extraordinary life as a football giant and an activist were celebrated as part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend will be celebrated. Brown, long considered the standard of excellence for running backs, died in May at the age of 87. He did not want a funeral. His wife, Monique, has planned a private memorial for her husband on August 3rd. Wow. Private memorial on the same day that the Browns will be playing. How about that? The invitation only gathering will be held at
90.
Okay. He was 87. Man. The invitation-only gathering will be held at Umstadt Performing Arts Hall near the Hall of Fame, which is hosting the event, along with the Cleveland Browns and the league. This year's induction ceremony is set for August 5th. We wanted to do something right after Jim died, and for a variety of reasons, schedules, everybody, Monique wasn't quite ready. It got put off, Browns co-owner Jimmy Haslam said. I can't really think of a better way to do it than to do it in Canton. Jim Brown's definitely the greatest Brown of all time and arguably the greatest in the NFL. To do it in Canton, a lot of gold jackets will be there. I think it's appropriate to honor his legacy. We're honored to be part of that. The Browns also plan to celebrate Brown during the coming season. Co-owner D. Haslam said those plans are still being finalized. But we're working on cloning him and putting him on the field with Nick Chubb. It's a celebration. It's a celebration. There we go.
Wow.
He rushed for 12,312 yards in 9 seasons for Cleveland before retiring in 1965, when I was a mere whelp of only 5 years old. After winning his 3rd MVP to pursue an acting career. And I think that what we ought to do as Browns fans is have a Jim Brown film festival where we can watch, like, you know, all his great movies.
Boy, I tell you, the day he was either the day after or the day of, NFL Channel had just about every highlight and in a really good presentation, you know, about his life and all that stuff.
That's cool. Yeah, but don't. So if somebody invites you to the Jim Brown Film Festival, okay,
Christian,
there's a couple of good movies in there, but most of them are not. Okay, I'm just saying he was not the level of actor that he was running back. I just want to say
question that. For you. If Jim Brown was drafted today, what position would you most likely play? Like, if he came up, like, same progression in size and stuff, and he came up and he was playing football today, what would he play?
He'd be a tight end or a linebacker.
I think so. Because, like, I was looking at his size, and Jim Brown was 6'2", 232, right?
Yeah. That sounds like a tight end, doesn't it?
Right. Derrick Henry is 6'3", 247. Adrian Peterson was 6'1", 220. Those are about the biggest in modern era of running back that I can think of, right?
What's Chubb? What is Chubb?
Yeah, I have to look Chubb.
Chubb is 6'2". Oh, no. Chubb is 5'11 and 230, I think.
God damn. He's thick, man.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of it, look up Earl Campbell for me.
Earl Campbell was 5'11", 232. So shorter, but the same weight. Yeah, but no, he is
virtual. Now, see, here's the point. And I remember watching, and Hugh will remember this too. I remember watching Earl Campbell play ball and being amazed at the size of this person. Just the girth, the size of his size, everything. Nick Chubb, you would get that same thing because he's virtually the same size as Earl Campbell was.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is the guys he's playing with are all much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jack Lambert, famous Steelers linebacker, right? He couldn't even play the game today. He would just get broken in like the first 2 snaps or something.
I mean,
yeah, I was wrong. Nick Chubb is 227, but shit, rounded up, that's 230.
Yeah.
Now, even Eric Dickerson was 6'3", 220. So if you look at the size of Jim Brown, right? In modern era, right? Mm-hmm. Jim Brown would be a physical beast at running back.
Oh yeah.
He, like literal. I've had these conversations with people before. The two guys I usually talk about in sports, Jim right. Brown and Wilt Chamberlain, right? Because everybody always tries to minimize their feats. Okay. Like it was they were only playing against Jim Brown would be a beast of an athlete right now. If you right drafted now. Him at running
but,
back.
But keep in right mind now. At the time there were defensive linemen that were his size.
Right. That's okay. What I'm saying. So what I'm saying is perspective I'm trying to get is most people try to minimize the accolades, right? When in reality, he'd be a beast no matter where he played. Would he do less now? Yes. He'd be against more comparable athleticism, right?
Right. Right.
But is the hard to handle be the same as it was back then? Do we knock football players from back then probably too much? They were able to stop this guy. Okay. This mm-hmm. would be the same if you put Derrick Henry back then, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You would think, oh, well, Derrick Henry, just like they wouldn't be able to stop him. Well, those guys stopped him. Okay. Now, if you took Jim, now remember, you can also say, right. You can take also the fact that now Jim Brown coming in now, he may have been even a little girthier, right? Because, I mean, modern athletics, you know what I mean?
I like
muscle and stuff. Sure. Yeah. The muscle and stuff he could probably put on his body now to then through youth. You know what I mean? So interesting. He's listed as Jim Brown is listed as a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
On Pro Football Reference anyway.
And he was.
Fullback. He was? Okay. I didn't know that. I didn't know whether Jim Brown was listed as he was.
And they just could not with a straight face call him a halfback. Okay. They couldn't. It was like, yeah, he's our fullback.
But I thought that'd be an interesting question. Like, but what do you think he'd be drafted as now?
So he was a fullback much in the same way that LeBron James is a forward. Okay.
Right.
But right. LeBron James, mm-hmm. you know well as I do, comes out and plays the point guard position on many occasions. So while Jim Brown is listed and was your fullback, he was in the halfback position on many occasions.
Yeah.
So here's a good one, guys. And I don't know the answer to this, but we are going to examine this to specifically look at the take of the Browns owners on this question. Okay. And could this year be different? What the Haslams are saying about the Cleveland Browns season.
So, yeah.
The pressure to win is intense, and the expectations are heightened for the Cleveland Browns. Failure is not an option. They're in a win now mode. With a talented roster and quarterback Deshaun Watson available for the first full season with the team following an 11-game NFL suspension in 2022, the Browns have run out of excuses and maybe time to contend in the AFC. From the outside, a playoff appearance would seem to be the minimum standard of success for the Browns, who went 7-10 last season. However, owner Jimmy Haslam isn't making any ultimatums, projections, or predictions. Chicken shit. Okay. I'm not saying the expectations aren't high. I'm just not going to draw a line for you guys what they are, Haslam said Monday at the Greenbrier Resort. Cleveland's home for the first 8 days of training camp. They're high. All of us have high expectations. First I thought he was saying all the players were high. And that's good, but it's the NBA that took marijuana off the list, Jimmy, not the NFL. Get this shit right. Okay. By the way, did you see that?
NFL should do the same.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, yes, and it was based on a meeting that Adam Silver had with Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant was like, dude, I just smoked just a minute ago.
Come like, on. You're really going to do that to me? Come on, man. I'm a star.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I know I can't get a proper haircut, but damn.
Mm-hmm. Everybody that works for the Browns has, it says there's high expectations. Haslam and his wife, Dee, have been in the league long enough to know anything can happen during a season. In the Browns' case, anything has usually meant something bad. Okay.
Anything.
Cleveland is 60-119-1 since the Haslam's 2012 takeover.
Wow.
60-119-1. The Browns have only made the postseason once in the owner's tenure, and the organization has suffered countless setbacks, many of them self-inflicted, over the past decade. Yeah, need I say, you know, okay, I don't want to beat dead horses around here. But, you know, some of those setbacks could have been avoided, because if you failed with Johnny Football, why would you turn around and draft Baker Mayfield?
Right.
Right. It'd be different if we hadn't had the experience of Johnny Football. Mm-hmm. Then you could maybe give him a pass on the Baker Mayfield thing. But that Baker Mayfield adventure, that 4-year adventure, was unneeded. Either that or stick it out with him. And of course, this here old Deshaun Watson thing now is going to make or break the look of that, right?
Right.
And it all comes down to it. If it all comes down to it, when you look at the Browns right now, you can look from position to position group on the Browns, and they're set. They're pretty much set. There's some things you want to tweak up, you know, because you did cut Perrion Winfrey. So maybe you want an inside lineman on the defensive side, that type of thing. But pretty much they're set. This all comes down to, will Deshaun Watson perform at the QB position at a level commensurate to his peers in the AFC North?
Well, he's listed at, I think, number 8 or 9 in the top 10 quarterbacks, if I'm not mistaken.
That's wishful thinking on anybody's part, because Deshaun Watson, it's all pure. But by the way, go to that list and look at the abstract, and everybody that puts him anywhere on the list that's ranking quarterbacks in the NFL have him anywhere from 12 to 8, depending on where you go. Okay. And all of them say, yeah, we're putting him here, but he's like the hardest guy to figure out, because he's either going to be good or he's going to suck. And right now we kind of got him here because we think he might be good, but we don't know. That's everybody. Nobody got a bead on Deshaun Watson. Those that have watched him play, I mean, listen, if you've been tracking any of the training camps, mini camps, OTAs, and seen the kind of throws that Deshaun is making, you have to be encouraged.
Mm. Do you know anything about this linebacker, Matthew Adams? He walked off the field with a trainer. So he's injured something, but boy, he looks like a beast. They show a picture of him with his shirt off.
I will put it to you like this. I hadn't heard of him. I'll put it to you like this. I don't know. The season ain't done if he's injured. I'll say that. Okay. Cause if you have to ask, okay, he ain't that important. And, it is not hard to have a football player in this day and age that looks like a beast.
I feel like we're weakest at linebacking on the defense. I think that's the weak spot.
No, I don't. I think we're pretty much set. I think the front seven, and that would be the 4 on the line and the 3 on the linebacking core, are great. I think where you really have to question the Browns, because the kind of defense they're going to be running, which is the Jim Schwartz defense, is that the cornerbacks and the safeties are going to have to play at all pro level. And listen, the only saving grace is what every other team does, and they're going to play a lot of quarters. Okay, the Browns are going to play a lot of quarters if they can't handle man-to-man. And it's going to be a lot of man or quarters because of the way Jim Schwartz defense plays. And to me, the biggest question mark for the Browns on defense is nowhere even near the line of scrimmage. It's your backfield.
I would say this. I agree on you with you. I'm always big on secondary. Okay. Because it's your last line of defense. You know what I mean? So in anything, your last line of defense, you know, you want it to be good because it's usually in sports, usually you rely on the last line of defense. I mean, that's almost in like all sports. Okay. Goalie, everything. You have your defense displayed up front, but your last line of defense is like, I mean, it's the last thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So we have had the past two seasons, either injury problems to just ineptitude at maybe one side. Okay. Yeah. So this season, like you said, we'll need sturdy play. I do still think the easiest way for the Browns to hit that elite or near elite defense that would carry them to a Super Bowl if they quite possibly could make it, right, would be the defensive line to perform, right? But it could easily, that could easily come from the secondary. If the secondary stepped up, all of a sudden our defensive line could look elite. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's just more time they have to do get in there. You can imagine if you give Myles Garrett right now in Myles Garrett's prime, you give him a half a second to a second more at all. That's probably a sack right now.
Okay? Hopefully this guy that we have on the other side.
You mean Za'Darius Smith?
Yeah, I think.
Yes, it's not. Yes, he's
hopefully
not.
Hopefully, he will do what
he's not. This guy, he's Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you could basically.
We got this guy, and then we got Myles Garrett.
I don't see because I don't this guy. Honestly. What Myles himself, he can't really. He's more like how long can he sustain who he is rather than actually get better. Could he get better? I don't know. All things are possible. But. If the secondary naturally gets better on this team, you know what I mean? We get a little more locked down. You know, guys are in front of guys the way they should be a little bit more. The help defense helps. Because I think last year, I'm not, you know, the biggest buff in secondaries and defensive schemes. But from what I watched and what was explained, a lot of it looked like help defense as far as on receivers was really our big problem last year. Okay. Now, I don't, like I said, I'm not too much on the specifics on that. It didn't look too much like it was. I mean, they had still looked like they had communication problems in the secondary, is basically what I'm saying.
And they did.
Well,
they
did. I'll say this. When we talk about the secondary, one of the big, and this is a question mark for me, it apparently is not a question mark for anybody writing on football because all I ever hear is how good Grant Delpit is. Okay. I'm not saying he's not. I'm not saying he's not, guys. I'm saying that the physical evidence of seen plays that Grant Delpit has made is scant in presence of the praise that he gets. Okay. And that's my guy on the defensive backfield that better goddamn well step up this year to earn this praise he's getting.
Yeah. Well,
I can agree with that.
Here's one for
this
you.
This is a transitional season for him.
Yeah, I saw this. Whatever. Transitional my ass. Just play a game, man. I saw this article the other day, and I was concerned. 21 hours ago, as a matter of fact. Browns wide receiver out with concussion. Other injury updates. What? Wide receiver? Who? Oh. Mike Hartley Jr. is out with a concussion. Yeah. Okay, cool. No problem. All right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was like, really? I didn't know we had him. Who's he?
Hey, I like this article. Andrew Berry, Jim Schwartz defense fits Myles Garrett to a T.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. I got to see it on the field, guys. It's kind of hard. Matter of fact, I even contemplated us not doing this podcast before they first hit the field this year because it was like, I am so tired of the Browns looking good on paper. The Browns ought to be able to do it. This should fit. This looks good. Oh, man, this looks really good. Oh, maybe they have a chance to be an elite defense. Oh, Deshaun. Show me. Play a game and play well.
I mean, I'm pleasantly encouraged, but I'm not holding my breath.
I will tell you this right now, and I've said it before. The Browns have the stench. Okay, now they have a new quarterback coming in. They have a chance to erase this stench that they have right now. But they have a stench of Chargers.
Ooh, I hate that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They have the stench of we've accumulated all this talent. Okay. I could start making comparisons here. Remember, they have Merriman, the Damian Tomlinson. Okay. They went from Breeze to Rivers, and Rivers ended up elite. Okay. They had Antonio Gates. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who is the receiver they had? He was a big dude. Yeah. I can't remember his name, and they got him from a trade, and it was a crazy trade when they got him. And they had two good receivers. One was elite. Okay. I can't remember the guy's name for the life of me. I can't remember the guy's name right now, but they had guys everywhere. They had star players everywhere. That's where the Browns are right now. We got a star at receiver, a star at quarterback, a star at running back. We got a star on the defensive line. We got a star in the secondary. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When are we going? We got technically a star at tight end coming up. Okay. Are we going to use it this year? That's a lot of notable heads at different positions. Okay. Around the league that people put on Pro Football Focus. Go, man, this guy is good, man. Look at his stats. Look, it says he's good. Okay. We got all those guys.
I'll put it to you like this. We have so much going on the field this year in terms of talent. It's, you know, ranked talent. And the money it costs to put them on there, that if they don't make the playoffs this year, this team, they're not going to be able to keep it together.
No, they won't.
So this is kind of do or die. And guys, it's all on the shoulders of Deshaun Watson, really, because that's the one position that's going to make the difference. In other words, can he get the ball to these receivers? Yeah, we basically need the defensive side. Yeah, you got to stop the other team from scoring, but... Again, listen, remember year before last, we stopped the Bengals twice and they went to the Super Bowl. Okay. Now we split with them this year, right?
This is true. Yeah.
But, and there they were in the AFC Championship game. So we know we can compete with the best teams in the league.
Yeah. We barely lost against the Chiefs. They went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
When Baker was still, it's not like we have not had ourselves in positions where somebody could say, well, damn, I mean, you can't blame them for losing. Right. But I mean, at some point you have to win one of those though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
I mean, you can't blame them for using. It's going to be a waste of talent on the team.
So if we at least get two levels into the playoffs, maybe not make the AFC championship. Are we still good?
I don't know. It depends on the character and the way that happens. Cause you know, if you get to the second round of the playoffs and then you get blown the fuck out.
Right.
That's not the same thing as competing all the way to the end. And then, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's not.
Well, I mean, the other thing to grasp onto, us as Browns fans, we're really funny, right? Because it seems like during off season, right, and beginning of the season, we're very lenient, right? And we're like, no, we got great players. It's going to work out, right? We're very, very patient, right? We're very forgiving, you know? And then once we get in there and we find out, okay, we were forgiving for no reason because these motherfuckers are playing like shit. Okay? We're the most irrational. You know what I mean? We'll get rid of this guy, guys that really shouldn't be getting rid of. And I think that kind of falls into the not being realistic with the timeline you have of talent. Okay. There are teams that were very talented in the past, right? That almost got it. Okay. And you don't remember them, right? Because if you almost get it, you didn't win anything. Okay. It's hard to, if you took a, you know, you get an elite quarterback, right? And you give yourself and you predict yourself maybe a 6-8 year window, right? Assuming you hold on to him to win a championship. That's not easy. That's 8 seasons. That means on one of those, you have to hit. Okay. You think about the amount of elite quarterbacks. Look at Dan Marino. Okay. How many years did Dan Marino play? They didn't hit. And okay. There's no, you couldn't get any better. They didn't hit. So the Browns have to minimize the mistakes and stuff this year, because that's the only way they're going to get a chance to hit on it.
Right. Now, the Browns and Watson look as smooth as they have in any camp under Stefanski, is being said. Okay.
Which is really,
I mean, that means nothing though.
The first camp, yeah. Really, right?
I'll put it this way. A lot of people don't think you can pull too much from preseason. I think you can. It's just an eye test pulling. It's like the NBA and the summer league that just happened, right? Mm-hmm. I was talking, I post something and guy was like, how do you know that? You can't get anything from summer league. I was like, that's not true.
I can't. Isaiah Mobley.
And that's who we were arguing about. He didn't think Mobley. He's like, Mobley doesn't deserve to be there. I was like, I'd argue that. Now, the stat I pulled up to him is I pulled up a list of standouts, summer league MVPs, and how many of them ended up in the league and contributed. And it's like almost all of them the past 10 years. Okay. So what that tells you is summer league is an eye test, right? But the standout performers, right, usually tend to, that at least some of that tends to transfer over, mm-hmm. You know what I mean, into live play. Training camp, I don't think you can get anything that transfers over from that. And we're talking about like they look good in training camp. What the fuck does that mean? I mean, that doesn't mean anything to us, okay? The Lions could be over there going. The Lions could be over there going right now. Look, they look great in training camp, okay?
Right.
You know, that means nothing to me, okay? They're going to have to show something. Now, preseason, you can only get so much because we're going to see way more of our second team than we are first.
Well, okay? Not only, keep in mind that the other dynamic in training camp, I mean, I'm sorry, in preseason games, you're not going to see the offense. They're not going to telegraph some of the stuff they're going to do. These are going to be way more basic vanilla versions.
Basic plays.
Of plays. Yeah.
Right. You're not going to see Chubb. You're not going to see much Watson.
Yeah, Chubb doesn't have anything to prove. I don't think he's on the bubble. I don't
think right? We're going to be saving Chubb. You're probably going to see Chubb like a series or so. That's it.
Dude, I would argue that if you see him at all, it's a waste of him. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. Kevin Stefanski, usually I'm pissed off because he won't give the ball to Chubb. If I see him running Chubb on Thursday night, I'm going to be pissed with him. Because imagine if you just ran Chubb in the first series and you hand him the ball and he fucking gets hurt.
Well, yeah. I just hope that they do use Chubb effectively and often in the season. And I think that's not going to happen, unfortunately, the way that
I will put it this way. What I would like them to do with Chubb, if they're still going to run Chubb the same way and not give him more carries, okay? And this may be the way it needs to be because even Chubb wants it, right? Okay.
Right.
They need to be more strategic how they do it then, okay?
Oh, yeah.
What I'm saying is we end up a lot of times at the end of the game and they're not giving Chubb the ball because they don't.
Right.
It's so just because they don't want to give him so many carries. You know what I mean? This is the time to get like those games where it's that we're both neck and neck with the team is the last drive. They're not able to stop the run. Why aren't we not beating it down their throat?
So while it's not, it's certainly about how often you use them, but it's also when.
Well, see, but the other thing you've seen the Browns want to be able to do what you just said, Jeff, but they also would like to do that with a second guy, and they haven't been able to get consistent performance out of a second guy.
So Kareem Hunt is gone.
He's gone. He's not here because and since his first and second season with the Browns, he has been terribly inconsistent. The Browns need consistent performance out of a second running back.
I would say this. So now you look to the fact that who are you going to use? You're going to use Ford or Watson? Is Ford the new guy?
Yes.
From last year. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Derek Ford.
Ford or Johnson. Ford or Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay. Now added in the fact, remember, we have Watson on the team now.
Okay. Right.
There's going to be another threat of run. Okay. Which is actually going to open some stuff up. Is he?
Hey, I thought he was gone. Yeah.
He might be gone. No, I don't know.
But they got rid of Durris Johnson.
But yep. they did. They signed him last year.
Did
they cut him?
He was gone. They took Ford instead.
Well, I mean, you're going to need more than two backs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I think.
Hold on. Guys, running backs. Okay. All right. You guys ready? Nick Chubb, Jerome Ford, Dimitri Felton, Nate McCrary.
Okay.
That's your Jerome Ford, your second string back. Dimitri Felton is your third. Nate McCrary is the new guy we picked up.
And okay.
he's right now your fourth string.
What I would say to that situation is Ford has showed sparks. I actually like Ford. To me, Ford may actually be a better fit with Chubb because he has a different running style, clearly. Okay. It was sort of like the same sort of attack with why is the name not coming to me? I just said his name not too long ago here, who we just got rid of. Running back.
Durris Johnson.
No.
Yeah, D'Ernest Johnson.
Oh, no.
Kareem Hunt.
Yes, Kareem Hunt. Yeah, Kareem had a very similar attack. They don't run exactly the same, but it's a similar attack. You know what I mean? He's going to go at the guy. Okay. Chubb has a little more craftiness in his run, obviously. Okay. Mm-hmm. But Chubb, if the best option is knock the guy, go through the guy, he's going to go through the guy. Okay. So you get that same kind of attack. It seems like it'll be a little bit of a different type of running style with Ford, and that may work out good for the Browns with a second back. You know what I mean? Because you get a different look when he comes in. You know what I mean? So the defense has to be accustomed to two different styles of running. And this is assuming he's effective. Okay. But we've seen limited effectiveness from Ford and Felton. So there's no reason to believe one of them may not work out. We haven't run one long enough to see if a defense adapts to them and just stuffs them.
I would venture to say that in the preseason this year, you're going to see little to no Chubb, and it is going to be a battle between, and not Dimitri Felton, but Nate McCrary and Jerome Ford, to see who's going to get the lion's share of the carries that are not Chubb's.
Okay.
Dimitri Felton, just because of his size, is a change of pace back. He's not the fill-in guy.
My only thing I'd argue that is we've seen some seldom times. Okay. I mean, you've had stuff like, we have a great offensive line, and we've seen stuff like Jamal Charles on other teams work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying he is an option. I really haven't seen him run enough.
No, but what I'm saying is, because of his diminutive size at the position, if you go into a week this year and Chubb is out due to injury, Felton's not your starter.
Gotcha.
Okay. That's going to be Ford or McCrary. And that's who wins the job. Obviously, I think Jerome Ford has an inside track on getting that because experience with the team.
You know who I'd love to have right now? Obviously, back in the youth that he was useful. Duke Johnson would be an amazing pairing for Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
If we could just go back in time and just grab Duke from when we first had him
and
just pull him over, he'd be perfect. It'd be perfect. That'd be exactly what we need. That'd be exactly what we need right now.
I'm really disappointed that the Browns, I felt that Kareem Hunt's skills weren't diminishing as badly as the Browns were putting him in a bad position. I don't think that they used
him. Well, they're probably not. That's not the point, though.
Yeah.
You can't. Okay. Most teams are not going to pay. Okay.
two backs. You're right.
Two backs money. Once, I mean, so you have that. Even when the Panthers, okay, if I could,
come on, pick most a team teams aren't going to pay one duo, back money,
right? If I could pick the duo that was been the best in the probably the past century, right? That we could, if that fits within a century, I think it still does. But the Panthers duo way back when, you know, with Williams and what's his name? Started with a P. I can't S. I'm sorry. Started with an S, and I can't remember. But anyway, those two running backs. Oh, Jonathan. Damn, it'll come to me. But anyway, that running pair they had, okay, with Cam Newton, okay, that was good. They had probably the best running back duo in the league, okay, and it eventually had to split up. And then they tried to feature one of them, and it just didn't work out as well. Let's
talk about running backs for a second, because, you know, in the past week and a half, a couple things have happened, but most notably, Saquon Barkley is playing on a tender because they couldn't come to an agreement. Saquon Barkley, arguably one of the top five running backs in the league, okay? And Nick Chubb summed it up best, okay? He come out at the press conference and basically said, look, as a running back in this league, if you get 2,000 yards in a season, that hurts you. We're the only position where you go out and perform above expectation and it hurts you. Because they said, well, you've run the wheels off now. There's no rubber left on those tires. We're not going to pay you. And right. Running or backs...
Rubber hasn't worn off. They've done so well that they want to get money and they're not going to pay him.
But that's the point. They're saying statistics, analytics says, and it can be proven that you get that 2,000 yard season at that guy and he never performs to that level again.
You want to know something interesting?
Hold on. Let me finish making this point. So what the running backs want, and they're trying, and I don't think they're going to get it, to force a renegotiation of this one area of the CBA before 6 years till it's up and has to be renegotiated, because that's as long as it lasts. Because they got till 2030 if they can't do this. But there may be some stuff they can do, and we'll have to see how this goes this year and or next. But they want the running backs to have a shorter rookie contract than everybody else. Because if you're telling me that by the time a running back's got 5 years in, the wheels are off, then you should not have under contract four of those 5 years on a rookie contract. Give me a two-year rookie deal and then let me make some fucking money before my wheels are off.
Well, not only that, you don't give them no chance to opt to try to win a championship either. Right. Okay, because they don't have the same way a quarterback after his 4 years. He can say, well, guys, you can't put anything around me. I'm out of here. I'm going to somebody who can. A running back can't do that. He spent his four best years, right?
Right.
He's like, man, will they take me? You know?
So do you guys see the running back position ultimately phased out?
No,
It will hurt football to such a dynamic.
I see happening eventually exactly what needs to happen. Running backs age on a different scale than other players because of the nature of the work they do. So if a running back with 4 years in doesn't have much tread left on the tires, there is absolutely no justifiable reason that you should have locked him into a pay schedule for four of those 5 years and not given him the opportunity to make his money in a competitive market.
Right.
So that's what's going to change. And it's going to change because the evidence is out there now. The analysis has been done. We know mathematically why they're doing the running backs this way. Okay. That can be fixed, and it will be, but on schedule, on the CBA schedule, it won't get fixed until 2030.
That sucks.
It sucks if you're a running back. It doesn't suck for you. It sucks if you're a running back. And trust me, they're going to do those running backs, their agents and the people that represent them and the players' union are going to do everything they can to get a negotiation out of the NFL on this subject earlier than that.
Well, right. The other thing to it, if I could pick a back in the league right now that probably runs as similar to Chubb as I could, it'd probably be Saquon Barkley. They're similar-ish build and stuff too. So, I mean,
One could argue also Saquon Barkley has been injury prone.
Right. Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
Certainly spent more time on it. I mean, the couple times that Chubb's gone down with a knee, it's only been a 2-3 week affair, and he's right back at it. Now, I don't know from the standpoint of later on how that's going to hurt Chubb or not, but he bounces back kind of quick.
I think he really takes care of himself.
He squats 660. I mean, you know, that's all I'm saying. That's just crazy.
After all, he's about as loyal and honorable.
Okay, so predictions, guys. Okay. I need you to talk about the Browns overall, what you expect this season. Blah, 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 blah.
I would say I'll start it.
Okay.
I predict playoffs have to happen. I'm not even going to go into any type of possibility of anything lower than that, because that's a have to, and maximum will be a Super Bowl. That's where they are talent level. We shouldn't expect it last year. We should not expect anything less than playoffs from this team. If they're not making the playoffs, then half of the moves we've made don't pay off. I mean, we're paying Watson for what? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and what really the other,
we're paying him like he's the best quarterback in the league, right, guys. I know that.
The other expectation within playoffs that I expect. Okay. I want to say because of the money he's making, I expect MVP from Watson, but that's not realistic. But I at least expect him to be in MVP talks.
He's making that money. That's right. Based on the resources being expended, I totally agree. In your heart of hearts, though, do you really feel that way? Do you feel this team has a chance to be in the Super Bowl?
I have to, just because of assets that are being spent. Like, okay. That's why I'm saying I'm not even entertaining less than playoffs and top 10 quarterback from Watson. And that would get him in somewhat MVP talks. Okay. Those have to be okay. And top 10 is being generous. He's getting paid top 5 money. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes,
I mean,
he is.
All those things have to happen for the Browns to justify what they're doing financially. That's why I'm not even entertaining anything else. It doesn't matter like what I realistically expect. I can't realistically expect anything less. They're spending win Super Bowl money.
Okay. I agree. Hugh, what about you?
I think it comes down to Deshaun Watson, like you both said, and it also comes down to Kevin Stefanski and play calling. I think the Browns are set. I think you can't be better set than they are. I expect no less than a 12-5 record in the playoffs, going deep into the playoffs. If you don't do that, it's unacceptable, really.
I'm going to say something here that might be controversial. I think when it comes to the division, the Browns need to win it. And I am of the particular personal opinion that the only thing stands in their way in our division is the Bengals. And that we have a psychological advantage over the Bengals because we have, even in their successful years, at least split with them, if not swept them.
Right.
The Ravens, I do not think, are the threat that everybody thinks they are. I don't think that the addition of OBJ does anything, because I think that Lamar Jackson actually falters this year. Lamar Jackson got his deal, and I think Lamar Jackson starts to fizzle. Okay?
Really? You think so? That's interesting.
I do. I really do. I really do. That's my prediction. Mm. Okay? My prediction is that some of the luster comes off of Lamar Jackson this year. There's been multiple injuries. Okay? Keeping in mind that he has not been available for the final 6 games of the past 2 seasons because of injury. And if they are not, if they are going to truly change how they use Lamar to try to make him available for those last 6 weeks, that is the change that says that, you know, Lamar is not as good a pocket quarterback as we thought he was.
Well, most quarterbacks do experience a dip, even if they do get back up to where they were. They do experience a dip. So we'll see.
Yeah. And Joe Burrow, the best quarterback in the division so far, because Deshaun Watson hadn't stepped up to make anything different about that. And he's injured, guys. He strained a calf, and they're talking about multiple weeks being out. Okay.
Okay, head start.
They said he'll be back for the first regular season game.
That's fine. He'll be back the first regular season game, but this is with no tune-up snaps, okay? This is no preseason action. This is nothing. This is coming in cold. And again, head start. There you go. I do not view Kenny Pickett as the future of the Steelers, okay?
I think he's a stand-in. He's a
stand-in. He's a placeholder. He's a placeholder quarterback. And
yep.
If anybody can get somewhere with a placeholder, I guess Mike Tomlin's that guy, but he's going to have to do it with Mears this year. And listen, the real competition is between the Bengals and the Browns in the North in my brain. And if Kevin Stefanski is not a ball and chain at the head coaching position, we can get farther than we may expect.
Then tomorrow Pickett listens to the TBF podcast and he goes out with determination and destroys all of our expectations.
Right.
What do you mean, placeholder? What do you mean?
He's going to say, you know, that one guy said I had small hands. Well, I'm not going to use the gloves.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Trust me. If that, I can tell you nothing else about Kenny Pickett's game. One thing I know is he'll have gloves on.
It's going to be interesting because, you know, I don't think you can count Pittsburgh out.
No, but that's because of head coach.
Yeah.
Which right. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this about him because I've chimed in on this. I think we've talked about this before. I don't think he gets enough respect because somebody was talking at it. It was one of those. I stay on the Facebook football and basketball stuff. As much as the arguments there sometimes make no sense, but somebody was on, it's all Cowher. Cowher built that team. It's all Cowher success. I list the stats of Tomlin and Cowher. Cowher wins some, Tomlin wins some, and Tomlin wins way more and more important stats than you think he does.
But not like, only that,
yeah.
But not only that, you know, if you, in the first 5 years of Tomlin, if you wanted to say Cowher built that, but there's no way what Tomlin's playing with today is anything that has anything to do with Bill Cowher.
And what he's playing, let's be honest, what Cowher did last year, he had less of a team than he's ever had before.
Yeah. Right. He did it with Mears. He did it with Mears, and he's going to have to do it with Mears again. But he's got Mears. That's the thing.
He's Hall of Fame already, so it's like it's a shoe-in for him.
Yeah.
I have total respect for Tomlin because I'll tell you this right now, and this is for Browns fans to, I think it should be the standard in what you look at. You play against a team in your division every year where if you had their head coach, we probably have gone to the Super Bowl already.
No, what exactly? Could you imagine?
And that's just the flat out truth of it. I'm just going to be honest. If the Browns had Tomlin the past 3 years, one of those years would have been in a Super Bowl.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, don't you think Tomlin says, man, if I had that fucking team, I'd be in the fucking Super Bowl.
But you think not? If I had, Nick Chubb himself, I bet you he's back. Oh, man, if I had that dude, man.
God
damn.
Kareem not even joking. Looked a lot better, too, with Tomlin at the helm.
Do you think not, Tomlin? And especially now that they have Watson, I bet you he does. Look, please, he'd have this team in the freaking Super Bowl.
Man, I am just amazed.
So that's what I'm saying, though. That should be the standard when you look at Kevin Stefanski, though.
So here, by the way, nothing to do with the Browns, but if anybody was wondering, Eric Bieniemy is going to either pave his road into a head coaching position or forever condemn himself to be somebody's play calling offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
because he's not with the Chiefs this year. So nobody can say, "Nah, that's just Andy Reid. He's just basically Andy Reid's, you know, high paid water boy."
Yeah.
Eric Bieniemy is with the Commanders this year. Okay.
Oh.
He's the offensive coordinator with the Washington Commanders. So you're not going to. So maybe he can. Maybe that's his thing. He had to get away from Andy Reid, do the thing independently of Reid, so they can no longer give the credit to Reid. Okay. You're definitely, whatever he does as offensive coordinator in Washington, you're not going to attribute that back to Rivera, who's a defensive-minded guy in the first place. Okay?
Right.
No.
And by the way, Washington Redskins have been sold. Dan Snyder, no longer an NFL owner.
Name now gets changed to something else.
Well, they're going to be the Commanders for now anyway. I tell you what name they won't
get. I thought they couldn't use the name Commanders because of something else.
They're the Washington Commanders.
I thought they were just the Washington team because...
No, they're the Washington Commanders until somebody says different. And then, and again, it's the name they can't use and they won't use is Redskins. Okay.
I don't know why I thought I read something somewhere where that they were having
a problem. That's not a thing. I don't care where you read it. If you look on the NFL's website and you look at their names of teams, go look at the Washington team. They're the Washington Commanders.
I thought that was such a stupid name. I'm sorry.
Well, it's better than Redskins.
Yeah, it's better than better Redskins. Than
Guardians.
It's only because it's not Redskins, but not because better it's than, a good name.
It's better than Guardians.
Oh, I love the Guardians.
The Guardians is a stupid name.
I mean, I thought they should have just gone back to being called the Cleveland Spiders. And imagine
that's just stupid.
They well, they had to change the uniforms then. They couldn't have just did just it and
had kept the little Washington imagine Commanders right here on NFL.com. So there's nothing that's no. I don't know where you read that and all that, but they're the Washington Commander.
Now, I think the Guardians is a stupid name. It's a cop-out name. It's been much time.
It's right. We need something that sounds like Indians, but isn't.
Yeah, I know they attribute it to whatever monument or something on the bridge there, whatever there. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Yeah. It's a cop-out name. Cop-out
name. The city of Cleveland.
It's and a cop-out name.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm cool with it. Long as they got a Cleveland team, I'm cool with it. But I thought the Spiders would have been great.
Spiders would have really sucked. The only thing worse than the Guardians would have been the Spiders.
I have a grudge with the old Indians or Cleveland franchise because they sat there and they just completely decked the team into freaking farm team for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cleveland's been a farm team for a very long time. And we can't seem to get over 500 ball. Well,
what I'd say is I would say the past maybe 6-7 years, they have graduated back out of that. They're a mid to high level team. Okay. They're not consistently a high level team, but when they got rid of, it started with getting rid of Tomey. Okay. And then they kept getting every time they got a star pitcher, that dude was gone the next year, and they got rid of Omar Vizquel. Okay. They just completely started just getting rid of guys that were almost
really good.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. That's after that they became the farm franchise though. Back when they were really good. Yes, they got rid of all that. And then they were a farm team, and every time they got a new pitcher that was worth a shit, they gave him to the Yankees.
Well, let's just say this, okay? When Lerner won the bid to become the Browns owner, the other ownership group that could have won are the people that ended up owning the Indians. So if you really think the Browns are a fucking sad story right now, given the history since 99, it could have been worse.
I guess so.
I'm like, damn, it could be worse.
Yeah, I know. That's just why. Hey, Brown star Miles Garrett responds to leadership criticism. So Cleveland Browns star pass rusher Myles Garrett responded Tuesday to comments former teammate Malik Jackson made about Garrett's supposed lack of leadership quality. I saw them, but he has a right to his opinion, and we're all learning as we go, Garrett told reporters per Mary Kay Cabot. And leadership is a fluid thing. It takes different shapes and forms depending on the room and depending on the person. And I can lead in the only way that I know how, and I can only continue to grow as a leader, and we'll continue to lead together. So there, that's Malik.
That's a leading type comment. I would say, argue that whole scenario to say this. They're paying a leader now. Mm-hmm. His name is Watson. He gets paid leading money, so it's his job to lead now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, let's all go get a massage. Let's all go
get a massage. Right. Yeah, hopefully he's got all of that under control. And he's-
well, look, you want to know what I thought about something?
What?
While back, I was like, man, the world was so much better when you could just go get a massage. And, you know, nobody.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. I'm feeling kind of tense. I need a massage. No, Deshaun, over there. Over there. Anyway, guys, so that does it. We get to see him play on Thursday. And in the meantime, we got to get the hell out of Dodge, right? So let's do this thing and say goodbye to our listeners for now. And we'll talk to you maybe not next week. Let's let them get maybe the Hall of Fame game and another game out of their system. And we get, you know, maybe a series or two with the starters, and we get to see some rising talent, possibly. And we'll talk again before the regular season for sure. In the meantime, the in-between time, until it's that time, this is Paul, Jeff, and Hugh for TBF, a Browns fans podcast, saying we're out.
Basement Tapes Productions.